bring the meeting to order, please? Can I get a roll call?
Kurt Olstead.
Here.
Tracy Carlucci. Tim Daugherty. Michael Dressler. Michael Francis.
Here.
Robert Holtaway.
Here.
Bruce James.
Here.
Carl Richko. Jim Riley.
Here.
Michael Sevitich.
Here.
Michael T. Fang.
Here.
James Vizioli. Richard Bowden.
Here.
Robert Walton.
Here.
Can I get the public meeting act, please?
This meeting is being held in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act. The Highlands Council sent a notice of the time, date, and location of this meeting to print in newspapers or circulation throughout the state and posted notice on the Highlands Council website.
Please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item up is approval of minutes. Can I get a motion? Move for regular and executive?
Yes.
Thank you. Can I get a second?
A second.
A motion and a second. Any discussion on the minutes?
I have a couple of things.
Yes. One second, I'll pull them out.
The regular minutes?
What page?
On page 10. Fourth paragraph from the bottom, where it says Mr. Francis stated, second sentence, Ms. Carluccio responded that 46%, what I said was 46% of the Park State Preservation Trust funds spent on land preservation with the highest landowners. That exact phrase appears on the second, on the next page, the second paragraph, which is the last piece of that lesson.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
The audience can't hear me because the microphone is too far away from member Carluccio.
Sorry about that. So it was a change to the fourth from the last paragraph on page 10. Insert after 46% of the Garden State Preservation Trust Fund spent on land preservation went to Highlands landowners. Similar to what it says on the next page, in the second paragraph. I have another suggestion.
I see. Don't anybody have any issues with that first change?
The fourth from the bottom paragraph.
Which page?
On page 11, beginning with Chairman Riley. The first sentence, I think it isn't clear what the opinion is being asked about. So I suggest that it read Chairman Riley asked for an opinion from council about whether Ms. Carluccio could introduce the resolution without the chair's approval. That's all I have.
Sounds accurate. Any problems with that amendment?
And my motion is
second. You'll amend that for a second. Any other discussion on the minutes?
I have one other change on the executive. Executive meeting on the.
Is it something that can be discussed in public?
Pardon me?
Is it something that can't be discussed
yes.
in public?
Yes. I believe so. Our attorney can stop me. It's not.
What page?
On the back, there's two pages on the back. Second from the last paragraph, I suggest we strike other and say some because it implies that all others outside of Chairman Riley make that statement.
I see no issue. Any other members of issue? Seeing none, any other corrections? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Olstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty. Councilmember Dressler. Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Richko. Councilmember Sevitich.
Yes.
Councilmember T. Fang.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden?
Yes.
Councilmember Walton?
Yes.
Chairman Robinson?
Yes. We're down to the chairman's report, and I have a couple small items here. But first, I would like to acknowledge Andrew Davis, new chief counsel. Now it is night day on the job. Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Wish you all the best in your performance of your days.
Thank you very much.
A couple things happened in the last few weeks. Delegation of Highlands Act Exemption Authority, the NJDEP and the Highlands Council MOU program. Regarding delegation of authority from exemption determinations to conforming municipalities, the Highlands Council and NJDEP representatives recently held a series of four work sessions for municipal officials to begin the training process required for municipal certifications. The sessions were informative and attended by 91 professionals representing 38 municipalities. So it seems like there's a lot of happy municipalities out there that are looking forward to this program. And to have 91 professionals here, which I think is a pretty good job. And last, and HDCB Chairman Walton can chime in anytime he wants. After the last round of funding, we recognized the necessity to, I guess, work through the processes or change the processes to some degree, because we felt the criteria towards the end of that program wasn't really putting, in our opinion, putting forward the best properties and the lack of properties coming in. So it was discussed there to have an acquisition criteria committee and a procedures committee. Since the Highlands Council basically will have to be part of this, we had decided to form a joint committee of the two staffs, the two councils. So I just got the update, and I'll get this emailed out to you, and I'll be calling on you to volunteer for one of these two committees, or at least two or three people from each. If that equals what the bank board did. And I think it's time for us to look at that. Do you have anything to chime in on that, Mr. Chairman?
No, you covered it well.
No, I don't know about that.
Good enough. Do you want me to add to that?
Yeah, sure.
There are several problems with the bank board criteria. One issue was it didn't scrutinize LLCs. I know that the petitions have happened with the major farmers, but if you had multimillionaires, they formed an LLC, and that LLC owned property, that LLC was losing money, you were eligible to apply for a hardship grant. And we were forced to get this because of past practice. There's also no conditions about environmental cleanup on properties being discovered. And it was really a mess, and we were left holding quite a mess. And so what we need to do is address the criteria by which we select properties and move forward, whether it's contiguous to other open space, environmental value, hardship of the owner, but also look at how we go about receiving applications and processing those applications through our staff. The last time we set applications, the staff recommended we approve, and several members of the board didn't want to approve them, but because they had staff's recommendation, we were left with no choice but to approve them based on past practice. So we wanted to try to create a system where the bank was not just rubber stamp, it's actually assessing these properties and deciding what time you give and how much you should pay.
And out of fairness, I think the process was working initially because earlier on the properties that were coming before it were higher valued on the list. But as we went down that list, I think there's been some disagreements on where the value is on some of the properties we purchased, I guess. So I just think it needs to be. Hey, the committees can come out and say it's lived as is, but I don't think that would be the case. So I think it's very important that we get working on this so as we get an influx of money back into the bank board, there's something set in stone, so whether it's resource value, ag value, different scenarios, just prioritize and get them in. So we'll be here for shortly on that. That's all I have. Any Other council members have anything?
I have something.
Yes, sir.
In reference to the waiver trustee.
Hey.
In reference to the waiver training, I attended it. I would recommend it that every pilot council member attended. It should be one of the priorities for every member. Because what it does is help you understand these waivers are not quite as simple as they look on face value. The municipal people and planners that were there and other administrative people really came away with a better understanding of not only what the waivers were, but how they should be approached and the responsibility of handling, which they can do very well, by the way. But there's some things that jump out at you as a result of that thing. For example, impervious coverage. You got into that conversation a little bit. And that maybe that's something that I would tell you to look at, because the cockamamie description that the DEP and the legislation took the DEP's description of it, which doesn't make any sense. And we got into that. So it's an interesting, it brought up some interesting stuff to people that they never realized that was there. So, and I think some of the council members would get some value out of that. When you hear the actual nuts and bolts, I mean, we had code officials there, we had local planners there, we had zoning officers there, and, you know, they were a little bit afraid of it. But I think after the training and the interaction between the DEP and the island planners and then other people was really good. Give people more confidence actually in what we're trying to do. So I would recommend attending for not only for local officials but also for kind of time well spent.
Thank you. Any other council members have any new business? Seeing none, we'll move on to the ED report. Mr. Fada.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, I'd like to recognize an award on April 6th at the New Jersey Environmental Federation's 27th Annual Conference Grassroots Leadership Award to member Tracy Carluccio. So congratulations on that achievement. The Executive Director's prerogative resolution, which delegates certain authorities to the Executive Director, was utilized 6 times in the past 2 months. The report on that is enclosed in your packet as promised. The RMP process has begun. We are really in the very, very preliminary stages. I say we have begun to develop a process and a timeline to gather information, establish indicators, and solicit public and agency comment. And NERNet web portal will be opened in the future to gather public comment. It'll solicit general comments as well as topical comment specifically solicited by the council. The staff is also preparing RFPs with current focus on fiscal analysis. So I said that is in the very initial stages. I really have no other comment to add to that other than what I just said. Highlands Outreach, which you know has been very important to this administration of getting out to elected officials and decision makers. In the last period, I add up the numbers that are in the executive report. It shows 45. I know there were 49, so we misplaced 4 someplace, but we did have 49 contacts with municipal and county government, interagency workshops, conferences, one HDC closing, and a number of other constituent meetings. The constituent assistance program, which we've been very pleased with, has increased on an average this year to 30 calls in the month of through the month of April. That's up a little from previous calls. I think some of the calls are starting to come in now on the exemption question, where people are calling us and asking a question. But that's been extremely effective, and I think everyone gets an answer to their question or a referral to their question within a timely period. We are continuing our staff and primarily staff continuing education and updates. Margaret Christanis, our Director of Planning and Science, Principal Planners Mary Jude Haddock Weiler, James Humphreys, Judy Thornton, Chris Ross, all attended the redevelopment forum hosted by New Jersey Future in New Brunswick. Carrie Benscoter, our resource management specialist, and Carl Figueredo, continue to work on a core working group on statewide habitat connectivity. Carrie also is active with the New Jersey Invasive Species Conference. That was April 4th at the Freeling Heisen Arboretum in Morris Township. We also received word that proposals or abstracts prepared by two staff members, Jim Hustleman and Casey Aziski, have been invited to the Mid-Atlantic Conference of the American Water Resources Association. Jim will be providing an overview of our innovative water use and conservation management plans, and Casey will be discussing and working on wastewater developing wastewater management plans in conjunction with local government and in collaboration with DEP. Casey continues to be our representative of the Morris County Resource for Administration of Private Septics Technical Advisory Committee, and Jim continues as a as an active member of the Water Supply Advisory Council. So I think you can see that your staff is continuing education, reaching out into the community even further, and continuing to learn what is going on in the world of water. Planning conformance continues to advance and continues to be a priority of the administration. We're pleased tonight to present the Roxbury Township petition for planning conformance. This will bring to 45 the number of conforming municipalities if it is approved tonight. We are also working closely for future plan conformance of Liberty, Oakland, and Wanacue. Those three are for conformance in both the preservation and the planning area. Frequently, we are asked about the components of plan conformance. And I think frequently the public loses sight of this, the goals of plan conformance and what it leads to. It's truly a benchmark in the process of adoption and full implementation of the RMP. And so as we've been trying to do in the last several meetings, it is to have our 101 series, starting with basics. We've had them in the past. We had it on TDRs. What was the other one we had on? Anyway, we're now ready to do planning conformance, and we want to do that this evening and talk about things that are like what are planning area petition ordinances, what are reexamination reports, what are what's a Highland Environmental Resource Inventory. All of these are components of the planning conformance process, and we thought it would be healthy just to look at these again, get a fresh look at them, and answer any questions that anyone may have, and continue our education of each other and those who may have an interest in the Highlands. So with that, I'm going to introduce Judy Thornton, Principal Planner, and Chris Dennis, Director of Planning and Science, for a planning conformance overview and presentation. This will be a 10,000-foot look at planning conformance, but they'll bring it down to a microscopic level if you ask them to on any particular topic. So, Judy and Chris.
Thank you, Director File. It's a pleasure to be here today and give you an overview of plant performance. So we're going to dive right in with the first basic question. What is plant performance anyway? Citing the Act, plan conformance means revisions of the municipal or county master plan and development regs to conform them with the goals, requirements, and provisions of the regional master plan. What are the benefits of plan conformance? We all know it's voluntary for the planning area, so why bother? What are those benefits? I can't tell you that this is an all-inclusive list. I'm sure there are more, but we have identified these as some of the major benefits. Planning grants and technical assistance, utility capacity planning, including preparation of wastewater management plans, resource management planning, sustainable economic development planning, and other types of plans for region for master planning, center and redevelopment planning, and TDR planning. I'm going to go over the plan performance process, and I just want to start with the objective, which is, again, to revise municipal and county planning documents and regulations so that they align with the regional master plan. So to get into the process, it occurs in two phases. It occurs in the blue phase and the green phase, to put it in a friendly way. The blue phase involves the petition development and approval process. That's where we're preparing draft documents for review by the Highlands Council. This is a collaborative effort between the municipality and county and Highlands Council staff, and it is largely based on models that the Highlands Council has prepared and provided to all the local jurisdictions. Following preparation of the petition, of course, there's a Highlands Council public hearing and consideration by the Highlands Council. The second phase, the green phase, moves into implementation. And very simply, and I will get into each of these in a little more detail, implementation is the process where the municipalities and counties are finalizing and adopting the plan conformance petition documents. Planning boards and governing bodies are coordinating to complete the process and all of the pertinent requirements getting through to adoption. So to begin just with a plan conformance petition, and this is very a brief overview. The petition includes a resolution petitioning for plan conformance, and of course it can include it must include preservation area, and it can include planning area if applicable. So it can include one, the other, or both. The petition includes all the planning program documents, for example, the Highlands ERI, the Highlands Master Plan Element, and Land Use Ordinance. These are all in draft form. It includes a self-assessment report, existing master plan and regulatory documents, and it includes the Highlands Implementation Plan and Schedule. The plan and schedule includes implementation tasks along with estimated funding allocations as needed to complete each task. The process involves petition submission, obviously, and then we've created an administrative completeness process so that once petitions are deemed complete, then the staff begins its review of the entire petition, and we put together a draft consistency review and recommendations report. The report and any marked up petition documents are then provided to the municipality or the county, and there's an iterative process that occurs where the municipality or county is then working with the Highlands Council with their response and their input, and we come to consensus on the documents. Once the petition is considered to be ready to go, we move on to the public process and bringing them actually here for review at a public hearing. So the process begins by posting all of the draft documents to the Highlands Council website. We issue public notices. We establish a public comment period, which is typically 10 to 15 days. And we'll extend that where there's a public holiday or special events that are occurring. Comments that come in are incorporated into a revised final draft consistency report, and then all of the revised documents, including the comment response document, are posted to the website prior to the public hearing. So again, the materials that are available during public comment period include all the petition documents, again in draft form, the final consistency report, and the comment response document. Then we move on to the actual public hearing, and the process involves, it's one I know you're all familiar with, the presentation of the petition to the council, public comment, and then the council, of course, deliberates and votes on an approving resolution. It's important to note that the governor's review period follows, of course, any council meeting, so that nothing is effective until that period has expired. It's also important to note that all petitions, and every one so far, has received a conditional approval pending completion of the tasks in the implementation plan schedule. Some of those are immediate tasks and some are much more long-term. At this point in the process, after the governor's review period, and assuming the resolution was approved by the Highlands Council, the municipality or county is considered to be in conformance. So then, when you think everything's done and we're all slapping each other on the back and taking pictures here and congratulating one another, we think we're finished, we realize that actually we're at the very beginning of the process. Because now we're going to implement, we turn to the green phase of plan conformance. And it's appropriate that it's colored in green here, because this is where we're actually effectuating the Highlands Act and the Regional Master Plan at the local level by adoption of new and revised master plans and regulations. And the municipalities and counties, by adopting them as their own, basically retain control over local land use. So the process from there on is we proceed to an amended plan performance grant agreement, which includes all of the implementation tasks and the funding needed to complete them. The draft petition documents are finalized. The final documents are reviewed and approved by Highlands Council staff, and then we get into local adoption. For municipalities, of course, it's all done under MLU law processes and procedures, and for counties, it's under the County Planning Act. This long list is just a sample to give you an idea of what's involved. This is for municipal implementation. The counties have a shorter list of items to worry about. And I'm going to tell you that the sequence here is not necessarily in stone. There is some flexibility and things vary depending on municipalities. So to begin, if you are conforming for your planning area, municipalities have to start with their planning area petition ordinance. We then move on to the Highlands Environmental Resource Inventory, adoption of a re-examination report. It's a re-examination of the existing master plan and regulations. And that report paves the way for everything that follows. Then we move on to the Highlands Checklist Ordinance. And I'll just briefly mention, I'm going to have another slide on the checklist ordinance next, but I want to mention here that for most municipalities, the checklist ordinance is an interim ordinance. And it's meant to require that development reviews start immediately coming to the Highlands Council for review before going to local boards for review. So it essentially, it kick-starts everything and gets it into place at the local level. It's an interim ordinance, only in place until the municipality adopts the land use ordinance. At that point, they take over control, and the checklist ordinance is repealed. Beyond the checklist ordinance, we get to the Highlands element, which supports the regulatory requirements to follow. Of course, then the adoption of the land use ordinance and a zoning map update to coincide. Once all of those tasks are finished, they're kind of the basic immediate mandatory tasks, the towns can move into some of the more interesting things like resource management planning. They'll do wastewater management planning, potentially redevelopment area and Highland Center planning. So just to go back again to this checklist ordinance, I wanted to mention that we have created an alternate checklist ordinance approach to plan performance. And this was created, it began back in 2011. And we started this when we realized that in certain cases, municipalities with, say, two or three lots that could potentially be developed in the preservation area were being asked to adopt this 100-page plus ordinance and full-blown master plan element in order to support the ordinance, along with administrative procedures and fees and escrows and so forth, all to regulate three or four lots. When we realized that there were a number of those cases, we decided it would make a lot of sense and be a lot better expenditure of public effort and money and time to allow them to simply stop at adoption of the checklist ordinance. We've only made this available to a small number of municipalities where the development potential is very limited. They adopt a modified checklist ordinance, and it's retained in lieu of ever having to adopt the Highlands Area Land Use Ordinance. The ordinance requires that development applications be sent to the Highlands Council for review and consistency. It's an optional process, and it just relieves what we see as a huge administrative burden that actually produces very little benefit. Are there any questions on that? And then in closing, just again to go back over these quickly, one of the key early milestones is adoption of the checklist ordinance in implementation. And essentially, this whole process of implementation and adoption of ordinance is really where the rubber meets the road. This is where we're actually implementing the requirements that are in the Act and in the Regional Master Plan. The checklist ordinance is followed by the Highlands element, land use ordinance, and then resource management plans and master plan supplemental documents. So with that, I would open it to your questions, unless Gene or...
Thank you, Judy. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Would you like to answer any questions?
Thank you very much for the presentation. Do any board members have any questions?
Let's
Seeing none. A round of applause.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Very important.
The next item up is public hearing and consideration of resolution planning conformance for the Township of Roxbury. I will be stepping down and recusing on this application since Roxbury is my hometown.
The three children at home. Just give them a hand. Before us next is the public hearing and consideration of resolution for the petition for plan conformance submitted by the Township of Roxbury in Morris County. I'd like to ask someone to offer this resolution. Is there a second to that? Okay, the resolution's been offered and seconded. I'd like to open this up to public comment. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes.
Did you want us to do the presentation?
Oh, I'm sorry. Why don't we do the presentation first? Yeah. I'm a little rusty.
If there's any questions the audience or the public might have, would certainly be, we think would be addressed.
No, that's okay. That's right. We don't need to do that.
Do I have the floor, Mr. Chairman?
Absolutely. Thank you. My apologies.
I'd like to introduce Chris Ross and Chris Dennis, who will, Judy Thornton. All three, they are ready to answer any questions you may have about anything. So they will give you an overview of this petition and an overview of some of the public comments as well so that they can be addressed early in the process. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gene. It's a pleasure to be here this evening to discuss with you the Township of Roxbury's petition for plan conformance. As Gene said, I'm Chris Ross. I'm the Highlands Council liaison to the Township of Roxbury. This slide lists the members of the governing body of the Township of Roxbury. You'll see the Mayor Fred Hall, Jim Riley, who introduced himself. And representing the Township of Roxbury tonight, we have the Township Planner, Russell Stern, who's been a tremendous help, and we've worked great together to get the petition to this point. This slide shows some pertinent statistics and facts about the Township of Roxbury. It was founded in 1740. It was originally a center for iron mining and forges that supplied George Washington and the Continental Army. Later, with the cutting of roads to the east and west and the creation of the Morris Canal, the township grew. By 1890, it was a gateway to busy vacation resorts such as Lake Kapaton, and lasted that way for about 60 years. And today, the township is vibrant and has significant preserved lands. It's very important to note that the Township of Roxbury is only petitioning for the preservation area. So this slide provides township in context with other towns, first Patcom, Mount Arlington, Chester Township, to name some. You'll see these areas in dark green are those areas of the lands in the preservation area of the township. To the north here is the Berkshire Valley Wildlife Management Area. Then there's this larger area to the west, which contains forested lands and residential. Then there's this tiny sliver to the southeast. And again, the township is only petitioning for lands in the preservation area. This slide shows the regional master plans, land use capability map zones. But again, we're only talking about lands in the preservation area. You'll see the green is protection zone. The yellow is the existing community zone. Here's protection zone. Again, the preservation area encompasses about 30% of the town. You'll see the statistics of the acres of lands in the planning area and lands in the preservation area. The township, in coordination with the Highlands Council, we developed the checklist ordinance approach. Well, as Judy mentioned, it's been developed since December 2011. We the majority of public comment we received was on this very approach for Roxbury. So in this next slide, we're going to dive right in, and it's going to be a little bit repetitive of Judy, but it bears some repeating. As Judy said, the checklist approach is appropriate where future development potential is severely limited to 2, 3, 4 parcels. In the case of Roxbury Township, with their preservation area only, we discovered in looking at the build-out report that the Highlands Council prepared with the assistance of the township, that there's only 4 developable lots in the preservation area. So again, it just, as Judy said, it doesn't make sense with just a few lots to burden a town with the 100-plus page land use ordinance and all the administrative costs and burdens. This is not a new approach. The Highlands Council did already approve Mount Arlington and Denville, and the staff is currently working with towns to see which others may be may meet the criteria. But again, the Highlands Council would make that determination, not the towns. This slide is an actual slide that was presented at the December 2011 meeting, where the concept was presented, and ultimately the council did approve at that time Mount Arlington. We had a public comment period that extended from April 12th through April 26th of 2013. We received 3 sets of comments. One was from Dave Piper from ANJAC. Another was Wilma Fry from the New Jersey Conservation Foundation. And third was from Erica Van Alken from the New Jersey Highlands Coalition. The Highlands Council staff reviewed carefully the comments, and we prepared a summary synthesis of the comments and a response to each of the comments. And this was posted to our Highlands Council website on May 10th, 2013. The staff recommendation was to approve this petition with conditions. It's the standard conditions you've seen of other petitions. Adoption of a Highlands Environmental Resource Inventory, re-exam report, master plan element, preservation area checklist ordinance, wastewater management plan. And in addition, our implementation plan and schedule provides funding for the township to develop resource management plans, such as water use and conservation management plan, stream, corridor protection, habitat. It also provides funding for redevelopment planning to study plans in the preservation area, just to study certain areas that would be appropriate for redevelopment in the preservation area. So that concludes my presentation. Thank you, and it's now open for council deliberation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Now we will open this to public comment, as I understand is the next thing to do, unless any of you had a question for us afterwards.
This land use ordinance versus a checklist, and I'm sure you've gone through a lot of pain. Bedminster, we had about 12 lots in the preservation area, and given my brothers, I'd rather use a checklist and send them off. As a council member sitting here, I don't think we want to hear thousands of these either. Where do you think this is going to play out as towns come in and they say, oh, I can just ask for the checklist and push for the checklist, then I don't have to do anything? And, you know, that presents a burden over this way as all these applications for development start to come in. I mean, how would you consider balancing this?
We've actually reviewed every municipality so far to determine, after finding that this was happening, we thought, let's go look and see where it makes sense. And Bedminster actually is one of the communities where it may make sense to take the checklist approach, and they are looking at it, considering it at this very moment. Material has been provided. So there are a number, but we will absolutely be drawing the line on how many reviews we can be accepting under these ordinances, because we do have a limited staff and limited ability to do the reviews. But it is case by case, very much case by case. Right now it's really involving, I think, 100% preservation area municipalities. The preservation area municipalities are governed already by the New Jersey DEP Highlands rules. So there's very limited development in a number of the communities, and it's really case by case. We haven't set a, a threshold where we won't accept it anymore. But it's really just going to be where it makes common sense to allow for it. If you, can we just tell you, has 10,000 lots and they're able to regulate them with their municipal zoning ordinance, and they have 5 or 6 or even 10 that are special, that are potential, have potential for development without exemptions under Highland's provisions. It just seems like a terrible burden and a terrible expense to set up that whole administrative process to review what could be 10 applications over the next 20 years. Even if they all came in 1 or 2 years, our review would not be overbearing.
You're taking into account potential subdivisions of existing lots under the current zoning in the municipality?
It would be under it goes to what their zoning. When we did the build out, we looked at every zoning and every build, and the towns worked on that. So we have actual on the ground data for zoning and information. This also allows for towns to get to, instead of working on a land use ordinance, they're working on the resource plans and other things sooner than later in the preservation area.
I strongly believe that we should simplify things for the municipalities as much as possible, because they're not in it on a day to day basis, and as you say, 100 paid ordinance. Just the time it takes for it to go through the land use board or planning board, fees and everything else in the front of managing is very, very difficult. But again, there's a balance, a tipping point, right? You just have to be very careful with that. Thank you.
Yes?
My question. I'm looking at what are the resources on these acres. It seems to me that the purpose of the regional master plan is to sort out protection from these based on resources. That's why we spend so much time developing the overlays and doing all of the data gathering and understanding exactly what the resources are. So we have these many, many layers of resources that evaluate what's on 1 acre, for instance. So in terms of making this decision, it seems pretty arbitrary when you start looking at just numbers of acres or numbers of lots, as opposed to, is this an area, for instance, that is totally groundwater dependent on individual wells, and it has groundwater shortages in existing wells? Is this an area that has many important streams that go through on this property that have water supply withdrawals downstream? How do these this acreage measure up in terms of the resources we're supposed to be protecting? So I'm just wondering if you were considering this, because certainly the council has spent years developing the evaluation of these properties based on resources, not on numbers of acres or numbers of lots. I'm very concerned, and we can talk further about it in the council comments, but I'm very concerned about the silver slope and making a precedent. It seems that we've already done that, made precedent by allowing a checklist to start with, and I would have never voted for the checklist if I thought it was going to be a slippery slope. You have to set a precedent, and then the exception starts becoming the rule. We have to guard against this. It's a creep that we have to guard against, and I'm wondering if you are truly doing an analysis and are going to be having some sort of system in order to evaluate acreage coming other than just numbers of acres.
The answer is absolutely. None of the resource protections are waived via this process. It simply means that the applications for development would be coming to the Highlands Council for review and consistency with the Regional Master Plan and with every one of the resource requirements and provisions as we have drawn them and written them into the model land use ordinances. So our level and criteria for review would be exactly the same as what the municipalities are adopting by adopting the land use ordinance. Nothing whatsoever is waived by that review. It's simply a question of coming here and having that review addressed first, so that when it goes to the local land use board, it's already consistent with the regional master plan and with all of our requirements, and then the municipalities can consider appropriately all of the things that municipalities consider that we don't regulate.
Well, I don't see the analysis, though. That's what I'm asking.
I think it's important that if we want to have a discussion about the virtues of the checklist, that we do that separate from considering this resolution for Roxbury Township. I think it's appropriate if we ask questions about the applicability of the checklist that we've already approved to Roxbury Township, and then certainly later on we can have an overall discussion separate from this resolution about the criteria and other evaluating other ways that they're evaluating applicability of the checklist.
Certainly. I do think we can have a policy discussion, but I'm really talking about the applicability of the checklist.
So then I think that's where we want to direct our questions. Does anybody else have any questions for the staff? Yes, sir.
There are four parcels in this particular application.
There are four lots that have been identified as potential for development.
How large are those lots?
They vary in size. Chris, do you have those numbers?
Well, if you add them up, we have 86 acres, at least from your
Is 101 acres. I think they vary from like between 100 and about 40 acres.
And what percentage? You said before that the preservation area is 30% or so of the town. What percentage of that 30% is encompassed with these four parcels?
I can show you. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, go to the.
I can show you on the slide. All four are in this this area, in this part. There's this whole thing is the Berkshire Valley Wildlife Management Area. None are in this small sliver. The four are located in here.
And what percentage of the 30% would those four constitute?
Well, there's 4,000 acres. Yeah, but 30% of the township is a preservation area of lands.
Right.
So of that, anywhere between 400 to.
I think it's less than 400,
yeah,
I believe. I think we had one lot that was 100, one lot was about 50, another was 26. Mm-hmm. I can't recall the fourth lot.
In terms of percentage,
it might be
under 5%, 2%. Yeah, it's very small percentage of the 4,000 acres that are in the preservation area. That would represent these four lots.
I believe the largest of the four is 100 acres.
Is that information in here? Because that's not the numbers that are in this report.
It's there in the build-out report, which we can get to you.
I think that is helpful in the future in terms of how large the lots are and what percentage of the entire preservation area would be included.
How large is the
Panama?
That's 100 and 2 acres.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other
questions?
Lots we're talking about in preservation, the four developable lots that are in preservation, correct?
Yes.
They're already seriously constrained being in preservation area.
That's correct. The preservation area rules. Right.
So there already are serious constraints under the legislation and the regional master plan. They're not exempt.
Yes, the preservation area rules are very, very stringent. It would be very difficult under the preservation area rules to do any significant development.
But the point is, we're talking about them like as if they were really developable. Technically, they are, but practically speaking, there's not a whole heck of a lot you can do on them in reality, correct?
They would be subject to the preservation area rules for the 25 and 88. They would be subject to if they triggered a major highlands development, and they are subject to the full complete suite of the RMP and all resources. This is just an alternate process.
Today,
it's not a waiver or review of any relief. There is no relief provided to this property.
So they're already
they just
well
come to us.
The RMP.
Yes.
And I should mention that the analysis is not just lots. It's actually the number of potential single-family residential units.
Mm-hmm.
The number of units that we came up with is four.
Mm-hmm.
You need 25 acres in the preservation area minimum.
I didn't want to make sure I was hearing right.
Yeah. Yes.
Just to clarify before the council vote. So of this 400 some odd acres, just to be clear, only four developable lots for residents can be created on these 4 acres based on your analysis?
Under the preservation area rules.
Okay. So 400 acres yields four developable residential lots.
Yeah.
And we're talking about this 100-acre lot. Are these wooded lots? This 100-acre lot or 100-plus-acre lot would be one residential home.
For the most part, there's not a lot of agriculture.
One home. We're talking about four homes here on 400 acres. What jumps in my mind is compensation, but I will get into that.
I just want to be clear on the real developable effect that it has on the area we're talking about. Which, as I'm listening, is not a lot. No matter what, if you apply checklist or not, it really is not much you can do there. Period.
There is no difference between the review of resources or review for checklists versus land use ordinance. It is the same level of standards in the RMP throughout. It's just a process. It comes to this council to review, and we look at it versus being solely held by a land use ordinance in a municipality. It is the RMP through and through. There is no waiver of RMP standards. It is the RMP, just a different set of eyes looking at it at a different point in time.
Are we talking about restricting development completely from these lots? Is that what we're looking at?
They're just subject to the preservation area rules.
Okay. Any other council member questions, comments?
Just a question on timing, then. So what you're saying is that, and from what I understand in the way this land use ordinance is being waived, is explained, is that development applications with in the preservation area would come to the Highlands Council for consistency determination. But they do so as an application that has been presented but not acted on by the municipality, is that correct?
Yes, we stop them before they can go to any review.
So the checklist ordinance requires that they can't be deemed complete by the local municipality for review until they have come here for that consistency review and until they are consistent and ready to go.
So I think, you know, the policy discussion that I think we need to have, and I know it gets mixed up this way out asking staff questions, and but policy issue that I see here is, are we then just turning ourselves into like a zoning board where they're developing the applications and they're ready to go move with the municipality and they've got to come here for a rubber stamp first?
Well, again, I think that's a discussion worthy.
It's a policy discussion we should have today, though. I don't know how else to insert the thoughts about the misuse, what I can see is the misapplication. What was supposed to be a very rare exception to the rule to this particular consistency determination.
Certainly, I will share with Councilman Riley your desire to entertain that discussion under your business. Are there any other comments? Discussion? So at this point, I believe we are opening to public comment, limited to 3 minutes. And just for the record, what I'd like to do is, which I think is our protocol, we're not going to allow an interchange back and forth, but if you have questions, state your questions, and then at the conclusion of your comments, we'll certainly have the appropriate person respond to the questions that you might have. And please limit the discussion points to this application for Roxbury Township. Julia Summers, am I calling on you first?
I don't know, are you?
Yes.
Yes.
Chairman?
Yes, sir. Excuse
me. I make just one suggestion.
Of course.
That because of timeliness, the planner from Roxbury has to leave early. Can we entertain his comments on the...
of course.
Yeah, as the only representative from the township, before we do public comment?
Yes, please just come forward. I'm sorry.
Thank you for inviting me up here. I'm only here as an observer. It's been a long process. Governing body adopted the resolution in 2009 for conformance in the preservation area.
Could you start talking to the microphone?
Okay. It's been a long process, and the township adopted this resolution in 2009 for plan conformance in the preservation area only. I'm only here as an observer, and let the very capable staff handle any questions that may arise out of this process. But I want to take note of some improvements that have been made, part of the administration and processing of these applications and checklist ordinance, I think are all a benefit and in processing and administrating the Highlands Plan. So with that said, I'm going to go back to my other seat. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Julia Summers.
Julia Summers, Executive Director of New Jersey Highlands Coalition. For us, our comments on this petition have all been about process. It has been about the process of changing the rules. We recognize that Denville, Green Township, and Mount Arlington have all been similarly treated, but I would argue that this has been a little different. Denville has 7 acres in the preservation area. And the entirety of those 7 acres are within a stream, a riparian buffer for a stream, so they are impacted by other rules. Green Township's preservation area is in its entirety. It's 200 and some acres, and it is all preserved. Mount Arlington just has a couple of lots, and it's a couple of hundred acres, I think 300 and something, in Mount Arlington. That is very different for the public from 30% of a community, over 4,300 acres. And it is disturbing also to hear that possibly as many as 25% of remaining towns could be considering taking this route without really your talking about this and whether it's appropriate. I think it is extremely important that you need to decide how far are you going to go with this approach to conformance, because this is not what you approved for the conformance process, and it is not what you explained to the towns the conformance process was going to be, and it is not what you've explained to the public is what the conformance process is going to be. And it is very unfortunate, I would argue, that this should be the chairman's community when we suddenly start dealing with large numbers of acres. In addition to which, according to your documents, $5,218 have been expended by the council in grants to the town of Roxbury for Module 6, which is the land use ordinance. So I'm not sure whether they're not being waived or whether they're spending our money on it. So we were very concerned about the process that has happened here. I completely understand that the staff feel that it's important for the council to move forward with this, but I think it has been very unfortunate how this has unfolded. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Just so you guys state your name.
Pat Moffitt from PPAC. Ms. Carluccio raised a concern about water supply, base flow, and area streams with development. I think as a working assumption, it's important for the council to understand that according to the water supply plan, which is a legal working document, water planning document for the state, the real concern is not the islands. The concern is the depletive use of the eastern urban counties. They use the water once, they use it at higher rates, and then discharge it to salt water where it is lost from available recharge and supplementing base flow. The water supply plan is very clear that if you want to compare from a water supply base flow basis, using just those two, say Newark development, Jersey City development, it's always better to be on a well in a septic. The water is recycled. When you strip the water out of the basin, you short circuit the entire cycle. You have removed that water from ever again playing any role in the ecosystems in this area. I've asked this council in the past month to provide a water mass balance. Now, water mass balance basically looks at if we do this, we end up with this much water, and if we do this, we end up with this much water. The Highlands Act, at its base, says it is environmentally or from a water supply basis better to push growth into these eastern urban municipalities. That is an absolute contradiction of the water supply plan. I've asked for a mass balance that shows you that this is indeed what you claim it to be. I haven't been answered. But I caution this council that you need to look into this. Thank you.
Thank you. Just want to remind the public that we're addressing the Roxbury Township resolution right now, and then we'll be open to the public again later on for general comments. Other comments from the audience? Wilma?
Wilma Fry, New Jersey Conservation Foundation. Ordinarily, New Jersey Conservation Foundation would give strong support to a municipal petition for plan conformance, but unfortunately, in this case, we cannot do so. The council's draft consistency review and report basically says that it proposes significant waivers and modifications to the standard requirements for plan conformance. And we have heard some explanation of that today. But Module 6, the Land Use Ordinance, really is the core element of plan conformance and its mechanism by which conformance is implemented. And this petition does not meet the requirements for plan conformance approval. The council report and the checklist approach, they are based on these three previously approved preservation-only conformance petitions that Julie has mentioned, Green Township, Denville Township, and Mount Arlington. But Roxburgh Township's petition is an order of magnitude larger than those previous three. As we've heard, Roxburgh Township's preservation area totals 4,300 acres in size and comprises 30% of the township. The waiver proposed for Roxbury would waive more than 4,100 acres, would more than any of the previous waivers. The Denville waiver was 7 acres, all in a Category 1 stream corridor, which is regulated by DEP regulations. The Green Township waiver was their preservation area total of 281 acres, which is entirely located within state preserved lands, which cannot be regulated by a municipality by their master plan and ordinances. Mount Arlington is somewhat similar, but the scale is so much different. It had 132 acres in the preservation area, which was 7% of the municipality. And that area was almost entirely developed already, with residential properties, a school, a landfill, and some preserved open space, with only 12 acres of developable land divided among 6 parcels. This is a very different size proposed, a different size waiver from Roxbury. So none of those three really set a precedent for the enormous waiver that is proposed for Roxbury Township. Given that the municipalities are provided with funding to do the planning required, it's not an undue burden for the town to undertake. In addition, the developable lots that were referred to were, I believe, taken from the build-out analysis, and there is a section in the build-out analysis which says it is not to be used for such specific purposes. The master plan would cover the entire area, and it deals not just with specific proposed developments, it deals with the entirety of the parcel. Therefore, further, it's questionable whether this falls within the standards set by the Highlands Act in sections 14A, C, and D, and we ask the council to please vote no on Roxbury Township's petition at this point. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
My name is David Shope. A question first. Has the septic maintenance and management plan been developed? Last I heard, it was not.
List all your questions and we'll answer.
Okay, that's question number one. Last I heard, it was not developed, which means if you're implying this as a standard to towns, whether they be in the planning and preservation area, if they elect to opt into the planning area land, you're asking them to buy a pig and a poke. I miss the slides that used to be presented, which showed the water deficit areas as applied to at least the preservation area. I'd like to see those slides come back. I just love to see the extent of the regulatory drought, a drought that was enacted by this act, not the amount of rainfall. I wish Roxbury well. I hope you approve this plan, but let me know what you find out about the septic maintenance plan. Thank you.
Thank you. Just a quick response to the septic ordinance, Mr. Chair. Mr. Executive Director.
It is being worked on with the county, and it's across really very preliminary.
So the answer is no.
The answer is no, that's right now, that's correct. Would anybody else in the audience like to speak to the application of Roxbury Township for performance? Yes, please.
Terry Kern, Viacom. I have a problem with the checklist ordinance of this application. I kept hearing how it was a burden for the town to be up against all this extra paperwork. And respectively, why aren't we thinking about the burden of the landowner? Now that landowner has to come to the Highlands Council to do any building or any reviews for their property when they could have stayed locally. Not once do I ever hear about burden of the landowners. Why is it the town? So I think there needs to be some changes there. Also, why is it there 10 to 15 days for public comment? Is one town 10 and another town 15? Or what? And why wouldn't it be 30 days minimum? I have a problem with that also. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Mr. Fire. I figured he would be here.
I want to thank the council for the opportunity. I want to be complimentary to your staff in terms of their preparation of this application and their care in explaining their positions to me. I'd also commend them on the fact that they actually produced a comment and response document. It's a very nice thing to have in the record for future issues that we may face. All that being said, I still don't wholly agree with the approach that's being taken here. I do think that there is an order of magnitude, as Wilma said, a difference between what was done subsequent to 2011 and this particular application. Altogether, I think that we could probably get a better deal for the natural resources of the region, but we are where we are. And altogether, I can understand the rationale, I just don't happen to wholly agree with it. So at this point, I'm not in favor of the approval of the resolution. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the audience? Yes, sir. Specific to Roxbury.
Yes, it is. My name's Hank Klump. I read through this thing here and under the public comments, and under public comments, there's not one comment in here from anybody from Roxbury. Not one. But all the comments that are here are from people outside of Roxbury, telling the people of Roxbury what they have to do and not to do with their land. I mean, it's amazing to me that somebody from outside that doesn't even live in the town can put such restrictions or try to put restrictions on the town of Roxbury. That's a lot. It just seems so lopsided. I mean, that's it.
Appreciate your comments. Thank you. Anyone else, please? Erica, no comments?
Let's go.
We're going to close the public portion of the meeting, open it back up to the council for discussion. Yes, Tracy.
I've had a question, maybe Mr. Weil or someone can answer. For the Highlands redevelopment area planning, it's mentioned here about Hercules. Would this planning be done in the preservation area or the planning area? Or
preservation area only.
Only in the preservation area. So when you use the Highlands redevelopment area planning, that vehicle does allow. certain development that you would not do if you didn't designate an area as highway street development. So the combination of redevelopment area within this area that you're talking about having a checklist for, the acreage that you have the checklist for, and the fact that the checklist is being used instead of the town embracing the land use doing this, really amplifies the downsides of using this pathway mission approach, in my opinion, as opposed to the full approach of adopting this ordinance. But I just wanted to get that on the record as a comment that I'm very concerned about us using these redevelopment area designations in the preservation area anyway, but now we're using it in combination with a checklist. And I do have to, I'm opposed to this. I think the public has made very good comments about this. I did read the documents that were submitted, and I thought there were some very good points made about the uncertainty of the federal landfill, and particularly the acreage that's not landfill at this point, that's attached to it, that could become open for development and add acreage. I did look back and saw that the Mount Arlington was about 12 acres and Denville 7 acres. So whether you're talking about 400 acres or 4,000 acres, depending on whether you want to argue that preserved land, park land is included or not, we're talking about a huge difference from what we've done in the past when we've applied the checklist. And we have, when we discussed the checklist, it was supposed to be rarely used for severe, for lands, areas that would be severely constrained in terms of development. So only if there was going to be a tiny amount of development that would have really de minimis potential for impact will we going to be using this checklist instead of the land use ordinance. I really feel the big issue here is beyond Roxbury, and that's, are we a zoning board or are we a council implementing a regional master plan? We're not a zoning board. And the whole point was for municipalities to embrace and fully integrate into their planning the regional master plan, not for us to be an overlord that comes in, that receives applications from individuals who want to develop a parcel in a preservation area that we then have to decide whether or not it meets our requirements under the regional master plan. So I really have a problem with this because it sets us further apart from the municipality. It's antithetical to us being part of and everybody working together as a council and municipalities in the Highlands. And we cannot start down this slippery slope. I'm really disturbed that what was supposed to be very rare is now becoming the rule. And this is how things fall apart. And I think we have to have, that's why we argued so hard for bright lines when we developed the RMP. And there are some bright lines up here. This is one area where there was some give and take when there was a very rare circumstance. So to hear the staff say that we may be using this even more, and talking about Bedminster and other places and expanding the use of the checklist, is very disturbing to me as a council member. I think we're working against ourselves and we're separating ourselves from the Highlands municipalities by being a second look as opposed to the first planning document that is applied.
Thank you.
So I'm voting against this.
Yes.
I'm listening to all this. And here's the bottom line. If the municipality decides not to come, if the municipality decides, okay, this is my home rule spiel again, so I apologize. But here's the deal. They have X amount of acres in preservation. This legislation, our legislation, and our regional master plan manage that preservation area. If the municipality decides not to come here and comply with the law and say, okay, here's an ordinance, and we comply with whatever we have to do with preservation, take it over. You are a zoning board, whether you like it or not. We have to make decisions. We're responsible for decisions, specifically and by law in the preservation area. It's nice if the municipality decides to comply completely with planning and preservation. That's a good day. But we have to be prepared not to have good days. This again, is not a real popular thing to do for some constituents. And you know, again, I applaud any municipality that comes here voluntarily to expose themselves to
a lot of suggestions, some very good suggestions, by the way. But again, if we have to show some flexibility in it and take responsibility also, when the municipality says, whether it's a checklist or an ordinance, I think is really not that critical of a point, as long as it's applied with common sense and we trust our professionals to make sure that application is correct and guide them with some points that should keep it within its limitation. But I believe we have to be that flexible. We can't, the bright line, that's nice. Okay, it's nice to have that, but in real life, you don't have that. Real life, there's a lot of shades of gray, there's a lot of judgment call. We sit here to make them judgment call. And so in that case, maybe we are a zoning board or a land use board when it comes to preservation area and preservation issues. There clearly needs are. There is no wiggle room on it. And if you want to come for a waiver, you know, what I've learned from waiver training is that it's not as easy as it looked. It's very complex, and it's just not automatic. Some are easier than others. But in the case of the point we're all making, with preservation areas specifically, the state legislation and the regional master plan clearly defines what goals and goals. There's goals and in the regional master plan, they're measurable, they're real, and they apply in preservation. I don't see what the real problem is if we say, okay, it's so in an opinion of professional planners, this is going to waste a lot of time and money, and it really should be checklists. Well, maybe we need to look at that. And I would never rule them out as a matter of expediency. And if they have to come to us because it's going to be so limited and maybe will never happen, just because it's developable, don't mean it's going to be developed, because it's seriously constrained off the get-go. It's not like this in the planning area. And again, specifically with preservation, I really believe that there's a whole bunch of controls in place, and I trust them control. That's us. So we make that decision when necessary, and it's not arbitrary. To me, the regional master plan and legislation is very clear, very clear. The legislation does the meets and bounds, so that can't be changed. The regional master plan has the goals and objectives, that's clearly defined. And that's what steers us today. So to talk about anything being out of whack in preservation, to me, I'm just not hearing that. I'm not really understanding that, because it's so clear, and we sit here and we really implement that. And if the town wants to volunteer to work with us on that, that's applaudable. But if they don't, it's our bag. If they say, we're in preservation, what do we have to do legally, and they do it, they're done. And it's us. So in that case, we might be a land use board. And in rare cases, I hope. But in most cases, I hope we have the play nice in the sandbox and everybody wants it to comply. Somewhere in between, we're always going to run into that.
Thank you. I just want to try to direct our respect and our comments towards the Roxbury application. I know it's hard because there's a lot of...
Well, that was about the Roxbury application. Yes. And specifically, the developable issue and the checklist and all of that, and the point I'm making is sometimes that's a good tool. It's not the only tool.
Appreciate that, sir. Any other council members wish to comment? Yes, Mayor. Tim, did you?
No, I'm going to turn to Judge first.
Chairman, when,
yes, sir.
When I voted for the use of the checklist over a year ago, I cast that vote because I thought that there were unique circumstances in which the checklist would work. It could work. I certainly didn't anticipate that that would be expanded to the levels that, to what I've heard tonight, it could be expanded to. And that bothers me. We've had a process in place with the ordinance. I like that process. I think that it's dangerous if we expand the use of the checklist. So I'm going to be voting against this application tonight. I don't want to set a precedent here tonight, expanding to, you know, the type of acreage that we're talking about. I understand what Mr. Francis has been saying about the fact that it's a restricted area. I'm talking about the process, not so much the nuts and bolts of this application, and that concerns me.
Thank you. Yes, I'm going to try to keep it brief. The thing that keeps popping out is when somebody mentions zoning or land use, what pops into my mind is a lot of land use boards, zoning boards, waive EIS requirements. They waive lots of things. But there's usually a policy in place that, brings it to a level that you can accept to waive that certain application, part of that application. What I see that lacks here is, and I know this is kind of like going after the fact, but in retrospect, if you don't have a policy in place where you can say this is as far as we go with the check waiver list, then you're kind of like just, like Tracy says, you are kind of just going down the slope. Maybe the word zoning board and that kind of stuff is not appropriate here, but if you use that analogy, like D variances on a zoning board, they're going to be handed out very sparingly. So in that analogy of it, you really should have the policy in place prior to where do you go? Is the next application 6,000 acres with 600 acres that are available? Is the next one 8,000 and 1,000 acres, but the percentage is the same as the one at 4,000? I mean, you can really get into these arguments where percentages, you really should have a defined policy on where you're going with this. At least I think you should. So until I think we get a policy in place, I don't think we should. Yes.
I'd like to agree with Mayor Doherty. You know, I spent a lot of years as chairman of boards, and we got a policy decision that got in the way. Rather than issue a denial, I think I would rather extend the hearing. I mean, I don't know if Roxbury is in any dire need to get this approval tonight. I doubt it. But I think that this policy issue should be resolved in a policy decision, and then the consideration of the application made based on the result of that policy, because there's a lot of stuff we've talked about, and there's a lot of things we've got to think about, and now, in my opinion, is not the time. Thank you.
Another council member?
I can count, so I'll make a motion that we table this to a later date.
Second.
And a motion to table. One question I had for council, first question. If we table this resolution now and then make a policy decision regarding the checklist ordinance, and it requires Roxbury to change its conformance plans, wouldn't that then in effect create an entirely new resolution to be considered?
Well, I think there's a resolution pending right now. Then there's a motion to table it. As in terms of order, I think there should be first a vote as to whether or not you should table the resolution. And if that fails, then there should be an up and down vote on this resolution. As to what may happen in the future, depending on the policy changes, I'd rather respectfully defer to see what the policy is and then issue, you know, my advice on what the, if any, standards Roxbury might have to change and the council would have to review.
Thank you, Mr. President. So there is no debate on the motion to table. So we are now going to request a roll call vote on the motion to table and the approval for the Township of Roxbury plan conformance resolution.
Councilmember Alstead?
No.
Councilmember Coluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Doherty?
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
No.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Aye.
Councilmember James?
No.
Councilmember Richko?
Yes.
Councilmember Savatich?
Yes.
Councilmember Tifang?
No.
Councilmember Bowden?
No.
Councilmember Walton?
Yes.
7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7
I think it looks nice. I mean, look, I would vote for the damn thing. I don't think it's that big deal in this process, but there are any votes. So they wouldn't deal with it.
I suspect the Roxbury acting group may not be initially held hostage on this at this point. I think you should handle this application.
No, the motion to table was not passed because we did not have 8 affirmative votes. So right now, a motion to table is not passed. So we are again open to discussion on the resolution before us.
And I'm moving closure. Should we vote on this?
So there's a motion to end discussion. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
There's a second to the motion to end discussion on the resolution. And that is subject to a vote. So now we'll have a roll call vote to on the motion to end discussion.
Yes, point of order. Can we just get a legal discussion?
Gotcha. Who made that motion?
Is it 8 or is it a simple majority?
8.
Is it 8?
You prefer for a table?
Yeah. Every action we take requires 8.
All right.
Okay, so we have it before us now. Did you get what you needed?
Yes, I think.
Yes, okay. Are you prepared?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay, just to be clear, this is on the motion to end discussion.
Councilmember Alston.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty.
No.
Councilmember Dressler.
No.
Councilmember Francis.
Yep.
Councilmember Holtaway.
No.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Richko.
Yes.
Councilmember Savatage.
Yes.
Councilmember T-Fang.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
The motion to end discussion has been approved, and we will now have a roll call vote on the resolution to approve the adoption. Yes,
I need to explain my vote. I'm going to vote for abstain. I missed the whole presentation. I'm going to say I was
very well.
Councilmember Alston.
Yes.
What are we voting on?
This is on the resolution for the performance plan for Roxbury Township.
Councilmember Carluccio.
No.
Councilmember Daugherty.
No.
Councilmember Dressler.
No.
Councilmember Francis.
No.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Yes.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Savatage.
No.
Councilmember T-Fang.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Seven.
I still think you have to ask me for my vote.
I'm sorry, no, you abstain.
Abstain.
Correct. I put you down.
So the motion is not carried.
Seven.
The resolution is not carried.
Seven.
Seven.
Seven to four.
Just the move.
So staff, looks like you have some further discussion.
I think the important discussion here is that it will be probably, and this is a speculation, a very long time before we see Roxbury.
Point of order, Chairman. What if we were to move the resolution, amending it, such that Roxbury is the ceiling for the checklist? Can we do that?
At this point, the council needs to vote on the resolution that was distributed pursuant to the Open Public Meetings Act to create a new resolution to vote on it right now.
You can that can't be right, because you can make amendments to resolutions, changes, and tweaks to resolutions and vote on it. You don't need to have this thing advertise the resolution. This draft resolution, this thing can be changed, altered, chop the task, right?
I'm
going
to say, I don't
know.
I don't think you need 8 for a table.
Well, that's a separation. I believe.
No, there can be a motion to amend the resolution and add whatever language the council.
Point of order. I agree with you. And I'm going to say why I agree with you. What's a quorum? How many of us are quorum?
8.
So, if you have a quorum, the majority rules on the votes of the quorum. If you're legally constituted, you don't need 8 votes to pass everything. It's not an entire majority of the body. It's a majority of the quorum.
I made a point of order which has been answered. You're allowed to amend
the resolution.
And I will offer a motion to approve the resolution setting Rock's Parish as the ceiling to checklist applications.
Motion has been made to amend this resolution to include a reference that this would be the ceiling that the checklist ordinance would be applied to.
I'm going to second that.
Preventing the slippery slope.
Can I add something to that, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
That it be a temporal motion, because there are a lot of very, very small municipalities coming in to which this would apply. I'd like to see the council, as Member Carluccio indicated, form perhaps a committee when Chairman Riley returns and set some policies as parameters, because I think to not go forward with this, with the checklist in all cases, would be as bad as saying we will go forward with the checklist, we will go forward with the checklist in all cases.
Chair, I don't want Roxbury to have to go back and redo things, but I happen to agree with my colleagues who are concerned about this. So it's not that I want to hold Roxbury hostage, I do not. But I think I want to get this passed for Roxbury, because I agree they may never come back to this. But I think that the policy needs to be talked about and finalized, and that's it. Whatever we're going to do at that point, and I happen to agree with it. I don't like slippery slopes either. But I agree with you. This should be it, and we'll until we really have a chance to discuss this correctly, wherever that we come up with as a policy.
If I may, just 1 minute. It seems to me that if we're going to offer this type of amendment, we need to define what the ceiling is. Is it the total number of acres? Is it the total number of buildable units? Is it the amount of acreage that is not already publicly owned and reserved? Somehow we need to define it, or else we'll be arguing at the next meeting about, well, we really meant this about the ceiling, or we really meant that about the section
that was already defined. I understand that. My guess is the mover of the resolution, amended resolution, I agree that we need to set firm numerical values for these limitations. However, I believe that in spirit, there are enough votes on the council to agree that this is the worst case scenario for the checklist, and that we can, future meetings, work together to establish numerical criteria, but still pass the resolution, understanding that this is the worst case scenario.
Mr. Chairman,
yes, please.
I have no problem with that, but I want to make sure that we're defining it, as we should be, with regard to acreage, percentage, building units, because if we're dealing with acreage, then we're excluding certain towns. If we're dealing with percentages, we're excluding others. Dealing with building units, we're excluding others. I think we've got to really narrow that down.
Today, we're at a future point. And I agree with you. We need to narrow that down. I just think we can improve Roxbury today with understanding that in the future, we can nail this down to a definitive number, either percentage acres or both.
Or more. Recognize Tracy next.
I think we're making a mess of this. I think it is absolutely wrong to be setting policy in a resolution related to whether or not a town is conforming or not. This doesn't work. We're supposed to set policy as a council that applies uniformly and fairly to everybody. Now we're setting the policy in a resolution that will apply to future resolutions that come before us. It's really mixing apples and oranges. And I don't agree that numerical limits are necessarily the way to go. I think the checklist idea, when it was first put forward, was for when there are severe limits in terms of what the future development could possibly be in the area.
And
when we discussed that, it was supposed to be a very tiny amount. This is a perfect example of why we should never do that. And the arguments that sound unreasonable, when myself or someone else might say, well, I'm not going to do that because it's going to set a precedent and it sounds unreasonable, well, we have to be unreasonable now. Because we did something that was trying to be fair in terms of common sense when an application comes forward for conformance and there's a very tiny amount of developable land, like 7 acres or 12 acres in a many thousand acre municipality. Now we're talking about what is tiny and what is small, and we're trying to define that in a resolution that applies to this particular application.
Let me offer this. Perhaps what we can agree to is that we won't consider, I think if I get a sense of where the council is tonight, I think there's a sense that the council would like to approve this resolution for Roxbury Township, but there's concerns about the applicability of the checklist ordinance for future applications. So perhaps what we can do, rather than setting this as the upper limit, perhaps we can agree that we're not going to approve any other conformance resolutions that include a checklist ordinance after Roxbury Township, until we've had a policy discussion and have agreed to any revisions to the checklist ordinance policy.
The administration will support that policy.
Right, Chairman, may I just suggest one more thing?
Yes.
We have to have a set of bylaws around.
I have a set.
I would just like to check once and for all the number of votes needed to take over.
I have that here, and it's actually in the Act. And it's C13:20-5, 2F. The powers of the council shall be vested in the members thereof in office. A majority of the total authorized membership of the council shall constitute a quorum. That's 8, 15 of us. And no action may be taken by the council except under the affirmative vote of a majority of the total authorized membership of the council. That's where the magical 8 comes from. Everything that we do, it's in the Act. It's not our bylaws, it's the Act. No alternate or designee of any council member shall exercise any power to vote on any matter pending before the council. So it's 8. As long as I've been here since day one, it's been 8 for everything.
Now, with 2 members, yeah, that's a pretty high burden.
Well, we were here at one point, we had 9 people on the council, and we went through some tough times. Yes, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Anyway.
So,
we can't hear you.
The counselor was correct. I always like to eat crow when it's young. So, stay corrected, and you are correct. But I do have another legal question. What Kurt just presented, would that put another municipality to file a lawsuit if we didn't get the same treatment as Roxbury if we move forward with Roxbury without having a policy? Then basically what Kurt's saying is we'll set policy after Roxbury. Would the municipality say I want the same as Roxbury again?
I think that the resolution as suggested by the vice chairman would be appropriate. In other words, following up on Councilmember Walton's suggestion, you could amend the resolution to vote on this petition with a condition that the council will not consider further checklist ordinances until such time as the council sets a new policy or revises the policy with respect to checklists. That would set a point in time that after which the policy changes, and the policy and its effect at the time would apply to another future municipality.
But I will amend my motion to apply with Chairman's suggestion.
I just want to go on record, though. Yes. I just want to go on record if another municipality comes in who has, say, 2,000 acres, not 4,000, and has fillable 100 acres, and the limit we put on as policy is 15 acres, but they have the right to sue because Roxbury got 400. Are we doing anything that would cause that legal? I'm not a lawyer, I don't know. But I can see an argument here,
Well, there's arguments anywhere. And to opine on hypothetical situations, I don't think that would be the best advice I could give the council. So I think the process that has been suggested so far is an appropriate process.
All right, I'm ready. I would suggest the administration and staff will get to work on a number of scenarios and investigate a number of options that might be acceptable. And the council put together a committee or the chair put together a committee, we would be happy to participate in that and look into the various scenarios. I will say that I believe there are a number of communities coming due for planning performance. They may be choked by this effect until we resolve what the criteria and the threshold is.
Thank you.
and we should resolve it quickly.
I think that is certainly not a discussion for tonight. I think everybody can agree, but certainly share with Chairman Riley that this has the utmost importance, and that I would think that we'll be taking action on a discussion certainly by our next meeting.
Mr. Chairman, we can have further discussion right now, though.
We have a motion on the floor to amend the resolution, so the discussion needs to be to the point of that amendment.
Okay. So regarding the amendment, what exactly will the amendment say?
The amendment says that we will not consider any further resolutions for plan conformance that include a checklist ordinance until we have reviewed as a council and approved or decide to take no action on applicability of checklist ordinance and future applications.
I'm not opposed to that condition, but I'm opposed still to the resolution. And I'd just like to say, as a point of discussion, that I don't think that we're holding Roxbury hostage if we don't approve this, because I can't see why Roxbury would have expected that such a huge increase in acreage that could be developed would fit the current policy of the council, which has been to have only 7 acres or 12 acres, very tiny amounts of land that could possibly be developed in other municipalities that have used the checklist as an alternative approach and not used the land use ordinance. So I don't know why Roxbury would have thought that. I don't think that has been, I know it has not been our position. The historic records of the council show it has not been our practice. So they should not have expected that unless somehow our administration was leading them on. I don't know.
As far as
this amendment is concerned, I think that it is clear that we are stating an intention to the public and our municipalities that unlevels the playing field. And whether or not it's illegal, as Mr. Daugherty has asked our council, is sort of a side point. How are we looking to the municipalities? Are we now starting to change rules in the middle of crossing the stream? And I think that this is a very dangerous action that we're taking, because I think we are changing a policy that we've had in place from before. And we're going to be now applying it to Roxbury and not letting anyone else necessarily, until we discuss it, have the same liberal application of the checklist apply to them. So whether or not it's illegal, I think that's a good point, but whether or not it's illegal to me doesn't matter. It looks bad. It smells bad. It is a bad precedent on the part of the council to start changing how we're dealing with this and allow one municipality to get away with it and maybe not others in the future.
We're not changing a policy here. We are changing a policy. We are better defining an existing policy. An existing policy that you tried for the last hour to have changed.
Chairman, just in a quick comment. For the record, the checklist proposal and the use of checklist in Township Roxbury was first proposed in February of 2012 by the previous executive director and administration.
Is there any other discussion on the motion to amend? If not, then we have a roll call vote with a new face. I feel like I'm watching Bewitched. You know, chamber.
That was a
great mayor.
Just clarification for the public. On the first table, you needed 8 votes to table, correct?
That's correct.
That's why it failed. It didn't have the 8 votes. So it's not tabled, it's not a failed resolution. It just didn't have any votes, so it was not unanimous.
You didn't vote on the application?
Not yet.
No.
Now we're voting on an amendment. Can we get a roll, please?
Just vote on the application.
It's not the amendment, it's the resolution with the amendment.
Resolution right. With the amendment.
And wait, another question from the public was, did we vote on the resolution? Yes, we did. It failed.
Right.
So this is simple. So another board member put up another motion to amend, which I guess is legal.
Yes.
So then there will be just one vote on the entire resolution with the amendment. There won't be a vote on the amendment and then a vote on the entire resolution, right? There's just one vote which includes the amendment.
Yes.
This is not an amended resolution.
Just voting on the amendment.
Mr. Chairman, is it appropriate for one item to bit of facts?
Yes. Well, quicker, you have 1 minute.
We crunched the numbers on this. There are
four
developable parcels in Roxbury that would fall under this for a total of 185 acres. So we quantify the 2,000 and 4,000. It's 185 acres, four parcels. And it's on page one of the consistency review.
Thank you for that clarification.
You're voting on the amended resolution.
Right, so this is one vote on the amended resolution. Is there any final discussion? If not, then roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Alstead?
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
No.
Councilmember Daugherty?
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Aye.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Richco?
Abstain.
Councilmember Sepetich?
No.
Councilmember Tefang?
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden?
Yes.
Councilmember Walton?
Yes.
Resolution carries if my tally fingers worked correctly. I appreciate you giving me such an enjoyable first tenure in the chair's. Yeah, so we'll welcome back Chairman Riley. And I don't believe there's any photos to take today, is that correct? Gene, Margaret? There's nobody here to take a photo with, correct?
No, Roxbury is not here.
Okay, so the head club wants to be in the photo.
That's
a designee for Roxbury Township.
Sure, we voted on it.
I hate to suggest that you take a break because I don't think we have a long meeting after this, so we can find Chairman Riley. Well, why don't we continue?
I move the resolution for the grant for the same.
Okay. Yep. There is a motion to offer to approve the resolution for the course share. Is there a second to that resolution? Is there any discussion on the resolution amongst council members?
I would just wait.
Honorable request.
But he might have
I had to recuse myself from the
Counselor, can you please clarify if freeholder James needs to recuse himself on this next resolution?
This is on the resolution. Approval and trade-off. If you want to take a 2 minute break, Mr. Vice Chairman, I would take a quick look.
Yes, we're going to suspend our official proceedings for 2 minutes. Enjoy your break.
Bring the meeting back to work, please.
Gene, do we have a response?
The same county.
Oh, I don't know. I'm waiting for council. I think it's your fault.
Bring the meeting back to order.
Mr. Alstead, thank you for filling in. I'm sure it was fun. Next item up for business is consideration of resolution, approval of a transfer of development rights
receiving zone feasibility grant to the city of Passaic. Can I get a motion, please?
Move to get.
We have a motion and a second. At this point in time, I'd like to open it up to the public, reminding the public, keep your comments to 3 minutes or less. At this point, we'll open it to the public. Anybody have anything to say? Please raise your hand. See? Yes, sir. Real quick before you.
Are you on? Yeah, real public comment. I'm sorry, because I was.
No, we're on the same.
I have to recuse myself because the benefit has a pre-order.
Yeah.
So I have to. I don't sit outside like you.
You don't have to, but that's fine. Thank you. Yes, sir.
My name is David Schoke. I'm against this resolution. It's more money down a rat hole. Until you adjust the TDR pricing to what Integra said it was, which was $91,000 a TDR credit as opposed to $16,000, and until you remove the hardship restrictions and make this program available to everybody who's been harmed by this, you don't have to have a hardship to be harmed by this. You just have to live here. And until you find the money to fund this, why throw $40,000 down a rat hole as you've done so much over the years in the past? I'm against this resolution.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this resolution? Yes, sir.
And Jack supports the resolution.
You are?
Okay. Hi, from the Association of the Fire and Health Commission. We support the resolution and continue to support TDR receiving zone grants.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Yes, sir.
I agree with Jerry Kern. I agree with Dave Shope's comments. And I also am against this resolution.
Thank you very much. Anybody else in the audience wish to be heard? Yes, ma'am.
Good evening, everybody. Helen Heinrich, New Jersey Farm Bureau. We would support it. We are very anxious to have a receiving area set up. I heard a little bit about what this might be like in the State Planning Commission meeting yesterday, and it sounds fruitful, and we appreciate the efforts that you've made to go out and drum up some interest in other parts of the county. So thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this resolution? Seeing none, I'll close the public comment. Anybody on the council wish to have any comments on this resolution? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Walstead?
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty?
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holdaway?
Aye.
Councilmember Richco?
Yes.
Councilmember Sevetich?
Yes.
Councilmember Tiefang?
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden?
Yes.
Councilmember Walton?
Yes.
Chairman Riley?
Yes. Next item is public comments. At this point in time, I'll just remind the public to keep your comments in 3 minutes or less. Anybody with any comments, please raise your hand. Yes, ma'am.
I'm going to have to talk fast, so please pay attention. First question, water use and conservation management plans. I'm delighted to hear that you're making presentations at in public places about water use and conservation management plans, but we don't know what they look like yet. And it would be fantastic if, at the next meeting, you could use your executive director's report to have your staff make a presentation about what water use and conservation management plans look like. Second, the new natural... I know you've put an RFP out, and thank you very much for that. But I don't get the connection between the RFP and natural resource ordinance, protection ordinances. So my question then will be, and I'm not expecting an answer right now. My question is, when will the natural resource ordinances be introduced? Because the process that's been set up with the RFP suggests it could take at least 2 years, by our reckoning, for us to get to the end of that process. So a lot of towns are in limbo without some kind of natural resource protection ordinance. Number three, this here is the New Jersey Pinelands Commission Long-Term Economic Monitoring Program. It's just been issued. It's their annual report, and it shows the economic data that has been collected for 2010 and 2011 for the Pinelands. It indicates that in the Pinelands, there are higher property values than outside the Pinelands, there are lower taxes, there are higher incomes. And it is a rousing reminder that regional planning works. We don't have any of that kind of data yet collected here for the Highlands. So before you make any whole-scale changes to the regional master plan as a result of review, it's important that you have similar data collected. And I know, Mr. File, that you have talked about collecting economic data, so it would be really great to have that done. Number four, Tennessee Gas Pipeline. There was a report due. And I know that you've been trying to track it down. We would really like to know what has happened to that report and for you to publicly tell us all what's going on with the report. And then finally, I have for everybody, well, not quite everybody, but every council member and one for the staff too, each of you, a copy of Takings Law in Plain English by Christopher Dirksen and Richard Rodewig. It is the fourth edition of this publication, and they are recognized as two of the most able people in this field, and they provide in this book the keys to understanding the legal history and its import for modern Americans. It's a gift from us. Are we allowed to give you gifts?
No, thank you. I'm allowed to accept gifts.
It's a submission.
All right, thank you very much. I will submit it. So I will submit it, and there's one for each of you. Given the other discussions you've been having, it's probably the best advice you can get.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Anybody else in the public room here? Yes, sir.
This is going to be online shortly, so everybody can get it.
Pat Moffitt, PPAC. It is illegal when making a Highlands regulatory application for the public to make a reckless, negligent, or willful false statement or omit a material fact. I've asked this council without reply whether similar prohibitions exist for unelected state employees involved in the rulemaking process. Certainly the council is aware of the moral hazard. Why will you not answer this question? It is now 1 year since the council became aware that the study cited by the Highlands Task Force's justification for the Highlands Act does not exist. Has the council conducted any investigation? If not, why? I've submitted multiple requests to this council to provide any engineering analysis supporting the catastrophic water claims made by the Highlands Task Force. These claims, you're aware, justify the council's creation. This council has a duty, given the fact that the North Jersey report does not exist, to provide a detailed analysis that supports these water claims, or failing that, publicly admit that task force claims are unsupported. It was troubling to learn this week that the supporting study cited by DEP in the Highlands Act Water Regulations, NJAC 738, also do not exist. Of the three water studies cited by the state supporting the act and subsequent regulations, two don't exist, and the third says the act wasn't required. The council has been made aware of DEP studies that actually exist, contradicting the various Highlands water claims. I'll make this simple. Provide the analyses demonstrating Highlands development threaten just the two water utilities using the Wanacue and the Pequannock reservoirs as their principal supply. The public was told that water supply current concerns were the main driver demarcating the preservation zone. It is therefore incumbent upon this council to publicly disclose the rules, basis, and algorithms used to define the preservation zone, given these boundaries were apparently drawn using a fictitious study. The only possible solution for alleged water problems, according to the Highlands Task Force, was to strip the residents of 52 rural Republican municipalities of their right to decide land use decisions in their communities. and then cede these rights to a council whose original members were entirely appointed by non-Highlands urban Democrats. I'm not sure what hydrology course that is taught, although Machiavelli is a political science course. I've been in a water field for a long time. I've not encountered any water equation where political affiliation was a required input variable. I do not understand why water problems that demand development restrictions or state takeover seem to occur so often in Republican areas. The IRS scandal has shown us that the necessary coercive powers of government can morph into political vendetta.
Thank you for your comments.
Let me finish, please. All 52 Highland Preservation municipalities are Republican. None are Democrat. What are the odds?
You can submit the rest of your note. Thank you very much.
Will I be getting answers?
We'll take a look at the note.
No, spend a year asking the question. Will I get answers?
I think a lot of your questions are to be answered by the state legislature. They're the ones that.
No. I've asked this council, do you have reports or don't you? I've asked them for simple things just to tell me you don't have them, they don't exist. I've asked you, I'm not getting answers. I don't need the legislature. You are the council. You make these rules.
Thank you for your comments. Yes, sir.
Jerry Kern, Piacon. I've listened to this gentleman speak quite a few times here, several occasions. Wish I could speak that well. I think he asks a lot of valid questions, and I find it hard to believe that this council can't answer the gentleman. I don't think he's asking for a lot. I would hope in the near future you can answer the questions to this gentleman. My concerns are there was a lot of effort, I think, in this council to towards compensation. To landowners. I've since seen it drop off. I would like to hear more about compensation for landowners, and maybe this council could put together some kind of subcommittee towards working towards that effort, being I think the council has acknowledged that it's been long overdue. I mean, and correct me if that statement's wrong. But I think that's the feeling I get. I would hope that they would, the committee could put some kind of subcommittee together, something where there's people working on this all the time. It's long overdue. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Yes, sir.
Thanks for letting me speak here tonight. I appreciate your time, and I know it's getting later, but. My name's Hank Klump. I own 150 acres in the Highlands Preservation Area. Jeff Till has been here. He has been listened to on television and always saying something in newspapers that influence people. He has had plenty to say about the passing of the Highlands Act that should never have been put in place because there was never any funding in place to compensate landowners who was robbed of their value. Or a scientific study that proved that we have a water shortage, which I think Pat is alluding to. Has anyone ever questioned the truthfulness of what he says? The Star Ledger staff has caught him in a falsehood, concerning a claim about aspirin, Katrina's cleanup. Their investigation proved that Tittle gave at least five falsehoods in this one claim. This is beyond ridiculous. Don't you agree? Maybe everything that comes out of his mouth should be investigated. How many other things has he falsehooded about or falsely reported over the years? Any input he has given concerning the Highlands Act should be investigated because there could be falsehoods and should not be recorded until investigations prove his falsehood can't be trusted. What a disgrace. Thanks for letting me speak. I have one other question and it was for our ex-attorney, and that was on the 88-25. He said he would get back to you on where that stood, and it's 2 months since we met, so I was wondering where that is. And again, also, as Mr. Kern alluded to, is the people that's trying to find some money for us landowners here. I haven't heard anything more about it other than when the judge started this thing. And, you know, everybody looks at me, but, you know, bills keep coming on. I'm getting older. It's been 9 years. You know, this is unbelievable, people. I mean, that you could lose your equity here in the United States of America. This is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. But thanks for letting me speak. I appreciate that. And if somebody could get back to me on the 88-25, I'd like to know the status of it. I mean, nobody knows. What is it? You know. All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Anybody else in the public wish to be heard?
Last but not least, I hope, Helen Heidrich, New Jersey Farm Bureau, and this is Ed Wengren, also from New Jersey Farm Bureau. Because of the importance of what's going on up here and the fact that you're getting into a review of the RMP, Farm Bureau is going to have two of us pretty senior staffers coming, and Ed will probably be here along with me from now on. The question of compensation, I'm wondering if you are planning to do a land conservation report like the last administration did, because we're looking into the effect of the dual appraisal method on values, because it expires the 1st of July 2014. If farmers, farm landowners are interested in using it, they better get on the ball now, get the process started. So far, I haven't got formal spreadsheets to show the difference in values for all the counties yet, but some of them are really very considerable differences between the current value now and the what they call the hypothetical value, which is the value as of 2004 zoning and DEP rules. So if are you planning to do an overall summary of land conservation since the last report, because the good thing about that was that it showed a comparison between the farmland preservation values and the Highlands Bank values that I think was very useful. And it does show that when there's been money available from the state, a lot of money has been spent in the Highlands. So there is compensation available, there's money out there right now, and there's money at the state that nobody's applying for. And the values are going to be good now until the 1st of July 2014, unless we get that extended. I really appreciate everybody staying for public comments. It's, well, you know, sort of thoroughly talked out at this point, but the fact that our opportunity to tell you some things that we think you ought to know comes at the very end of this whole process. Is it possible at all to do like the SABC, where they have a public comment period before the agenda, so that maybe some of these things could...
Then you might leave early and not pay attention to the rest of the agenda.
Me? No, I'm concerned about you leaving early. Maybe it would be good way to get rid of some of these people, but anyway, have a public comment period before the agenda and then with the agenda items and have another one afterwards. But maybe that would be a way to make sure that you all are here to hear the full comments and suggestions of everybody that has waited just like you until the very end.
Thank you for your comments. Just a quick hello and introduction. I've worked on the Highlands issues, the development of the legislation for Farm Bureau. I'm legislative staff there, so I was deeply involved in those negotiations and that process, as well as prior to that at the Department of Agriculture. I worked with Secretary Kakaris at the time on the Highlands Task Force that created the legislation. So got a large background, a lot of history, and worked at the beginning of the process of the development of the RMP. So as you open up that and look at it again, we'll be here with historical and new ways to accomplish some of the great things that are actually in the plan. There are great things for growth, development, and business development in the plan. It's just getting everybody on the same page and using those tools. So thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to hear?
Yes, sir.
My name is David Shope, and getting back to the yet-to-be-developed septic regs, you talk about a slippery slope. You're asking towns to opt into, as part of their requirements, to a part of the plan which has not been developed yet. They're going to get this rammed down their throat whether they like it or not. That's a slippery slope. If you want a definition of a slippery slope, look at that one. The New Jersey Water Supply Authority used to have a source water protection fund as part of their water rate. They're in the process of canceling it. There will be no funds from that neck of the woods. Even though our land supplies the water that they sell to the urban parts of the state, in the case of the New Jersey Water Supply Authority, over 180 million gallons a day. And they're unwilling to pay $9 a million gallons for land acquisition because they want to keep the rate flat for the sixth consecutive year at $231 a million gallons. We're getting screwed every way we can because this water, in addition to being squandered by being used once, also supporting 11 golf courses, generates several hundred million dollars a year in franchise excise and gross receipts tax. None of that comes up here. It's a money-making scheme. We supply the land for this deal, and we get nothing for it. What a travesty. What are we, a conquered people up here in the Highlands? What are we getting? This is legislative intent. That was the legislative intent, and that's what they're accomplishing. Pat Moffitt has told you about several things that he's asked his council to do, at least your staff. And if you, the council, are not aware of it, ask your staff. Ask your staff for the email exchanges so that you know what you're talking about. When I lived overseas for 3 years, and they did road work there. It was a British Crown colony, and they had a regiment of signs. The first sign said road work half a mile ahead. Second sign said road work quarter mile ahead. Third sign said road work 200 yards ahead. Fourth sign said you have been warned. You have been warned. You have been warned, and you have been warned. If you think this is over, you are wrong.
Thank you for your comments. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Seeing none, we'll close the public portion. We have no executive session, so I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Aye.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.